So are you gonna lead us, Adam?
No,
Adam
you
says
are.
That we need a leader.
Yep.
To keep us all on point.
We should. He just never gets the job done.
I think apparently I'm going to be the leader.
There we go.
Being from South Carolina, the way our election goes, I refuse to vote again.
Yeah, I know.
Is it because Al Green didn't win?
I don't think anybody I voted for won in the last election.
Did you vote for Al Green?
The singer?
No. I would vote for Al Green.
Loving you with
Crazy Man and comic book artist.
Okay.
Okay.
Good job, Sean.
You're welcome.
way to keep everybody on task.
I am providing witty banter.
Just as important.
See, Adam, the thing is, you're trying to redo the Acme Comics dollar bin. There's a reason that the Acme Comics dollar bin doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, it's called they wouldn't
no
let us
one,
use the shop.
No one wanted it. No one wanted it. They want the new and improved rambling dollar bin.
It's because I started a fight there was no way out of.
Here's the thing, Ted.
All while I was out of
a lot
town.
Of times.
I come back and I find out my parents got divorced. And they're like, so which podcast are you going to join now? The Acme Comics dollar bin or the former dollar bin? Now the fucking.
All right, Devin.
What the hell
choose,
was the other
you
one?
You could choose Adam and Brian.
It was the Escape Pod.
The Escape Pod.
Hold on. They kept. I didn't know they had another podcast.
It was called the Escape Pod.
They did like four. They did like four.
And no, they're like, so which one are you going to be on? I'm like,
I got to say, though.
Both?
Their name's better.
I don't
better.
Know.
Yeah.
The Escape Pod is a little better than Dollar
No,
bin.
There's already an Escape Pod in existence.
Oh, never mind. Apparently, there's already a Dollar Bin, or they came around after.
Dollar Bin is... I still like
the thing
Dollar
is,
Bin name.
Yeah.
It, that's because Flacco. It's like
but
your
it has
initials.
Pod in it.
The,
it's
yeah.
kind of cool.
You like the, it because it's DB.
Like if we were the Bean Pod.
That helps.
The thing is this. The
Bean Pod. The bean pod.
I'm going to start my own podcast. Sorry, the Bean Pod.
What is it going to be
you know
about
what?
Coffee?
Good. You guys.
Good, because you know what? You're fucking fired.
Come to my office, wife.
Ted, what's it going to be about? Coffee?
The Bean Pod.
It's about comic books and beans.
So we are gathered here together at Ted's apartment.
I'm not getting married.
For the annual Thanksgiving show. So we're all here to talk about what we are thankful for.
Which means Brian has to be positive.
Today, Ted's going to talk about espresso.
And we've got six categories that we're going to talk about.
It's the string beans.
okay.
Bean beans.
I'm going to run them down real quick. We're going to talk about.
Well, you're going
to
run them
today
down.
Today we brought in Billy Bob from South Carolina. He's going to talk about lima beans.
Ted's going to tell you what happened to Spider-Man.
Henry hasn't been a part of.
Okay. Keep him. Get him prepped.
Okay,
go ahead. Run
so
him down.
We're going to go with number
snap
one.
Peas.
Publisher. Publisher you are most thankful for. Number two, comic you are most thankful for. Number three, trade or graphic novel you are most thankful for. Number four, comic related news or event that you are most thankful for. Number five, dollar bin contributor you are most thankful for. And this one is open to interpretation. And number six, the favorite creator you got to meet.
This I have
year.
A question.
This year.
Yes.
What time frame are this thankfulness?
This year.
Last
year.
This year. The 2010.
Then is this like the pre-Dollar Bin Awards?
No,
it's
no.
just what you're
no,
thankful
it's not.
For.
Yeah, 2010.
Kind of stealing our,
sort
yeah.
of.
We got to be careful since stealing our Dollar Bin Awards.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
We
it's
do
so
this every year.
Every year.
Okay? We do this every year.
And normally it turns into bitching.
Yes. Not normally. It always turns into bitching.
Not going to turn into bitching
this
year.
Yeah, it is.
It is funny because it's never anything that anybody's really thankful for. Except for, I think that probably I had the most positive comments over the last few years on this, and everybody else is, well, probably Adam is thankful for some gay shit that he was doing.
I'm thankful this mini comic I got. It was about Jesus, kung fu fighting, a cat like Chuck Norris.
I paid a dollar for Spider-Man it. Loves Mary Jane, even though I haven't read it. Although no, you did finally read it.
I did.
What did you finally think of
it? Really
please tell the,
it.
Tell
really
the audience, what did you finally think of it?
No, because I'd already read the Mary Jane stuff, and I'd already read the Mary Jane Homecoming. I just hadn't finished reading the Spider-Man Loves Mary Jane. And I loved it just as much as I like the other stuff. I haven't read the Terry Moore stuff yet. I haven't read the little mini series kind of afterwards. But all the Sean McKeever stuff, I've talked about Sean McKeever a lot this weekend, just because he was like, he seemed like, well, he seemed like
the
perfect
people in Bilo.
He seemed like the perfect guy to go to Teen Titans when he went to DC. It made sense, right? Because he did the whole Spider-Man with Mary Jane, and he just like botched it, man.
I think a lot of that has to do with his
this sounds like too. Bitching.
Yeah,
he was taking over for Geoff Johns, who was writing a shitty Teen Titans book. So.
But yeah, anyway,
Thanksgiving.
This sounds like bitching.
Yeah. So yes.
But yeah, Adam, he really did love it. He kept pointing out things to me as he was reading.
I read the entire volume before I went to bed. I couldn't go to sleep until I finished reading the volume.
Okay.
David Cook.
That sounds fast.
Okay, so number one, publisher you are most thankful for. I will go first. I am most thankful for Boom Studios.
Shocker.
I know. I love their kids line. I read pretty much all of them. Uncle Scrooge, Toy Story, Finding Nemo, Darkwing Duck, WALL-E.
Are you reading the Uncle Scrooge that's now DuckTales?
Yes. Woo! Love it. I'm so excited about Chip and Dale. So excited.
And Dale.
Are they dancers?
Rescue Rangers.
Yeah.
No.
Yes. Are they actually Rescue Rangers or is it Chip and Dale?
It's Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. Nice. So it's got all of them. Yeah. I'm very Rescue excited. Dancers.
I'm continuously impressed that they managed to find people to do, to write and draw those books that are keeping it
real.
Well, real for those, yeah, like for those properties. Like
keeping
the,
it consistent.
If you yeah, like, yeah, if you can remember the Darkwing Duck cartoon,
that's awesome,
and you read that book, that it's the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. It has the same
like somebody
feel.
Somebody tried to take a different swing on Darkwing Duck.
It's just like a new Darkwing Duck story. Duck. It's like same kind of continuity, same tone, same voice. Everything is awesome. Duck.
That second printing of number one, the mocking, that was awesome.
Yeah,
Dark Knight Returns.
It was so good. And even like their more adult stuff is really good too. Like the Farscape stuff. It's more adult than Uncle Scrooge.
Don't make fun of Sean's boyfriend.
Dude, I love Keith. Keith is so sweet.
I love Keith.
Who is Keith?
Too.
Keith R.A. DeCandido.
What?
Huh? Keith is adorable.
He's a science fiction kind of fantasy writer.
Up, like,
and he's been doing the
Louis
Ravens
alternate.
Easy. No, Keith is awesome and nice.
Whatever. Don't you talk about Keith, man.
Can I go next?
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm, please.
Can I go after that?
Yes.
Can we just follow the
like, I think, last, yes, I think last year I would have said Boom Studios, but I'm not really doing a bunch of promo stuff for them anymore, so I don't read all their stuff anymore. One publisher that I've been liking some of their stuff recently is IDW. And one of the things I like about IDW is they have a lot of licensed property books, but instead of just beating their licensed characters or headline characters into the ground where if you want to read a book about them, you have to read whatever version they're pushing at the moment, like, say, DC does with Batman, having 12 Batman books and you have to read whatever the current Batman storyline is, period. Like, if you look at IDW's books, there's like four different kinds of G.I. Joe. There's various storylines you can read about the different Star Trek movies or TV series. Even like Transformers, like they have a movie verse and a comic book verse where you can read the different storylines or whatever. So if you're a fan of one of those like genres that they have licensed content for, whatever you're like, if you're Star Trek Next Generation, they got a book for you. If you want to read about Ricardo Montalban being awesome in Wrath of Khan, they have a current book for you that's awesome.
Wait,
and you know, even
about
no, because everybody hates him. If like with G.I. Joe and some of the other books, but besides their licensed content, they're also doing other interesting, different things like Mystery Society with Steve Niles, and like all the stuff they did for Darwin Cook with Parker the Hunter, with releasing that huge, oversized $2 book to promote it. I just think they're doing a lot of different interesting stuff, even if you don't necessarily like, I don't read all of their books, but I like the fact that they're being so flexible. I like flexibility. Heather?
Speaking of flexibility.
I don't know how to respond to that.
He meant in your reading.
So, Heather, what publisher are you most thankful for?
Dark Horse. I love all the Whedonverse stuff that they have going on. I like that they did The Guild as a comic. Beast of Burden is really good. The Beast of Burden Hellboy crossover was awesome, especially since the little pug called him the devil in short pants. And I like that they did the $1 reprints. So yes, if there was stuff that you hadn't read previously, like I think I picked up Gru.
Okay.
Which I really like the art style on that. But with a dollar, it's hard not to pick up some of those. So I was really glad that they did that. And I just like what they're publishing.
Booyah, Devin.
I'll go with Vertigo. Just because I read a lot of Vertigo. It's not like anything has changed from year to year.
Awesome.
But I can't really think of anything else. I mean, I don't read anything.
But if you excuse me, I'm blowing up at the moment.
Can throw it on vibrate, Devin, at all? Can throw it on vibrate,
all right. All right, Ted.
I guess my answer is going to be boring, but it's Marvel. I know it's not really make yours cool. Yeah, I know it's not really cool to like the big two anymore, but if I look at my shelves and my pull list, is still pretty much mostly Marvel, and as much as I complain about stuff, I still find a lot entertaining there. So yeah. Favorite character, Spider-Man, still there, still asleep. Coming out 3 times a month, so I'm really liking it.
Not
so.
Anymore.
Three times a month anymore?
Negative.
No, it's going back to monthly.
Fuck out.
We're starting with...
All right, I'll change my mind then. I want to say Boom Studios then. So, fuck you, Marvel.
647 was the last issue of the Jeez, 3 times a month. Me? Yeah. Did you read the new Dan Slott is going to be writing it.
I read the new one.
Yeah. I haven't read the newest one yet.
Do not even read Spider-Man. I know
but,
this stuff.
Yeah. Starting with Big Time, it's not. No more yeah. 3 times a month.
Yeah, Big Time. Brand new day, and the 3 times a month is over.
Why would you boycott Spider-Man?
That's so whatever.
Sucks.
Hey, you suck for boycotting stuff. You're missing out.
Okay, Thanksgiving.
This.
You are.
Well, we're trying to convince him. No,
every
we're trying to.
Family gets together, we just turns into arguments.
See, Sean, we're not being negative. We're trying to combat his negativeness.
By being more negative.
By trashing him. But we're trashing him because he's wrong. But so we're right.
He's going to cut me from this podcast anyway, so you guys are already.
Whatever. Well, but no, going back to my original statement.
There's a guy named Brandon. He's stupid because he doesn't read Amazing Spider-Man.
We want to make him smarter. But no, I know it's boring, but like I said, Marvel is the one.
They put out a lot of really good quality stuff. They put out a lot of shit.
And they got a lot of good stuff.
And they've got Rick Remender right now.
Yeah. There is a reason why they're one of the big two.
Who went negative?
By the way, Brandon.
That little circle over there.
Fantastic Spider-Man circle.
So Brandon, what do you like?
Yeah.
Brandon, what do you like?
We actually have another publisher being represented. We've gone around and haven't doubled up yet. That's kind of weird. I expected somebody to jump on Boom already. But I say Image.
Oh.
They continually put out great stuff. I mean, the stuff that I borrow mostly are Walking Dead and Invincible. But Cowboy Ninja Viking has been a really, really, really good book. It's like I was saying earlier, unless Adam changes it.
Take him out.
Oh, I was like, what?
Stupid Brandon.
It moves. See? You can turn
well,
it.
Well, Devin
it's
didn't have
fire.
Anything to do with me getting into Cowboy Ninja Viking, but it is a great book. Henry?
Yeah.
Okay. See, you should listen to me and read Spider-Man.
More Spider-Man than you'll ever read. So.
Ooh. Oh! I hope that got picked up on the mic.
Yeah, you're reading Spider-Man back when, like, you know, it was fucking.
You spiked the depression?
Yeah. It hit in church.
Okay. 6 p.m. I guess, like, the thing I'm thinking, I'll be thankful if this company comes back. Like, one of my favorite publishers of the year, or of comics, went out of business this year, Buenaventura Press. I used to read a lot of their stuff. They put out, like, Kramer's Ergot and they used to do Comic Art Magazine, which I read a lot of. But it was a really great little publisher, published a lot of, like, really interesting indie talents and stuff like that. But they went under this year, but there's word that they might be coming back, and I'll be really thankful if they come back.
Yeah, I saw on the blog that they're trying to reinvent or do something new.
I'd be surprised if somebody didn't, like, publish for them and use for the ability to use the name.
Yeah,
but Buenaventura, obviously his name. I mean, he had a lot of great contacts in comics, and he was putting out some great stuff. You know, I was really, really excited. Every time I saw one of their books, I picked up, and it was almost always great. I think I picked up like Matt Fury's Boys Club, which looks like it's these Muppets, and it was really an incredible comic. And I hope that they actually published it and not Picture Box. But anyway, that's for a publisher. I would be really grateful if they came back.
All right. Adam, are you also going to say somebody different? Or
yeah.
I
am, actually. We discussed this on the way up here, and you know, the last 2 years, I've always said IDW, and that was actually my second choice this year, so it's very interesting that you came up with that one. And the publisher that I'm most thankful for this year is Ad House Books. Mm-hmm. I've been super happy with what Ad House has done this year. Got to meet Jim Rugg, I mean, Aphrodisiac. Duncan the Wonder Dog just came out. I just love what Chris Pitzer is doing. He's got his newsletter that he releases to constantly keep people informed.
Plus, we just love Chris.
We love Chris.
So
I mean,
nice.
He works his ass off for that thing. And I'm just really, really happy that somebody out there like that exists. I know recently Josh Cotter, his apartment or something caught fire because of one of the guys around, and he's got a bunch of stuff for sale to help kind of pay for that. He didn't have renter's insurance.
Actually, if you buy it from Ad House directly, they're dropping their cut for a couple to of Josh. Months to give Josh even more money off
which,
of it.
Which is awesome. And the fact that Chris is doing that and he puts it in the newsletter and gets word out.
He also puts it on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah. I really like Ad House books. They've been really supportive of their creators. And they're putting out really good stuff, too.
He's printing some really fascinating books, too. Like Josh Cotter's book, Driven by Lemons,
was
made to look like a moleskin. It's pretty much just his sketchbook.
Have you seen the original?
I haven't seen the original.
They're identical.
Really?
Identical.
It was a beautiful book that looked exactly like a moleskin. It felt very personal. I really liked it. And I picked up his the Project Recess, too, that... Is it? Oh man, James John. Mess it up.
James the Jean. Newest one.
Process Recess number 3.
I saw number 3, and has a cutout on the cover, right, with like a little hummingbird on it. Yeah. But a very beautiful book that I'm sure must have cost a fortune to print. But yeah, you're right. Ad House is making these beautiful books, and really, really great people over there.
Those things freaking end up costing a fortune too.
Sean's got all three.
I saw it. I started to bring it off the shelf, and Adam flipped out. And I was like, trust me, Adam, I know how much this is probably worth.
It still has the thing on it, like the wraparound, like intact.
Adam's like, it's signed, though. I was like, I'm not touching it anymore.
Yeah, I was like,
I had the second one on my Christmas list a couple years ago, and I told my sister about it. She lived right down the street from where Acme was. I was like, look, there's someone on Christmas list. I know it's comics. You don't really know what to go buy and stuff like that, but it's on hold for me.
You sent your sister into a comic book store.
All you have to do is go get it.
Yeah.
And she didn't go get it. And I told Phil if she didn't go get it by a certain time that he could sell it. So he sold it. And then I went back. Of course, they were sold out. Time passed or whatever. And I was like, man, I never got that Process Recess. I need to get that. So I went on Amazon. I couldn't find any. Then I go on eBay, and it's like $150. I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah. Like, this was 2 months ago. This shit was $35 in the comic store.
Yeah.
Could have gotten 10% off of it. Now $150. Fuck you.
So are you mad at your sister?
So now, no, I told her that Process Recess number 3 is on my list this year, and she better... It better be
under the Christmas tree.
Are you sending her to a comic shop?
Yeah.
By herself?
Probably.
She can handle herself.
Dude, she will beat the shit out of anybody that tries to mess with her.
I'd like to throw out a special thank you to Chris Pitzer for all he does for Heroes Con behind the scenes stuff. He is such a huge help and just such a nice, wonderful guy. I really appreciate what he does.
So no DC. DC got shut out.
And that was Vertigo is DC technically. It's an imprint, but
not as far as our show is concerned.
No, it's not. But yeah, so we went all the way around and not a single dupe. That's pretty awesome.
That's pretty impressive.
We're awesome.
Yeah, we are.
And eclectic.
Let's just end the show now.
Yeah. Okay, number 2 comic you're most thankful for.
Start with Ted.
Ooh, Ted.
I'm just throwing that out there. You're in charge. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But what I would do.
I was going to keep with the same.
I'm bossing you around.
Go ahead. Fine, Ted. Comic you're most thankful for.
Do I have to sign off?
Yes.
I think every time I get asked about a comic, I think I always talk about the same comic, so I know I'm very boring on these types of shows, but it's going to be Invincible yet again. Everything, if you're reading Invincible, you have certain things you probably like, and I think these last couple arcs have hit every single high point of what you like about that story. You have the family intrigue. You have the whole Adam Eve. Well, God, I can't even spoil it. Is the Adam Eve stuff like spoil? Is it still spoiler?
I don't know.
Not if he's reading 75 over there.
No, I'm not. I'm on 50.
How long has it been out?
55.
Like a year now? It's been a year. All right. Well, I won't go into specifics, but I mean, there's, you know.
I go on the balcony.
It's just been there's family stuff.
There's love interest stuff.
A lot of fighting. A lot of like
Brandon,
this.
Just put your fingers in your ear.
This last arc, the Viltrumite War, has just been incredible.
Brutal.
It is so good. That's the book. You know, that's the book. When Brandon talks about his book, I think I'm going to kind of co-sign pretty heavily on that one. But yeah, but Invincible is probably the title that I'm most looking forward to. Like, and this 75 was like a couple months late, and I felt myself noticing that it was late. Like, it was one of the books I missed. It's like I haven't read it for a while. I kept rereading the books up to it just in anticipation of it. So, and then when it came out, it pretty much delivered. I mean, I had my minor gripe with it I talked about earlier, but it delivered. So that's the book.
Okay, well, what about you, Brandon?
Thanks for the segue, Ted.
Positivity.
By the way, Ted,
I did say thank you. I said thank you, Ted.
You did not say it pleasantly.
Thank you, Ted. The segue.
Much better.
I have to go with Cowboy Ninja Viking.
Almost a jump pass.
Oh, they went with the T-Bone package again.
We're not talking about football.
I have been playing my hand.
They're distracting me. I'm sorry. They talk about football. I get distracted easily.
I knew they couldn't stick to that rule.
I would have to say there's a couple books other than this, but it's at the top of my list just because it's just so different. It's such a breath of fresh air. But Cowboy Ninja Viking art and story are something that I actually look forward to. And I know it hasn't come out in a while, but it is actually the one book that gets me in the shop to buy single issues now. I usually buy trades or hardcovers or whatever you call them. But that's the one book I buy every month. And if you haven't read it, do yourself a favor. Get the trade. Check it out. It's fantastic.
Who wants to go next? What about Devin?
Sure.
Okay.
Poor Henry.
A zombie.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a good. That's one that was in my top, so take it. Take it away.
It's definitely the book I'm most thankful for this year. I mean, it came, I didn't hear anything about it before it was coming out. And really, it was the Mike Allred cover, you know, just seeing him doing the cover or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, what's this? So I went and checked it out, and then, yeah. I've been nothing but pleased ever since picking up that book. Roberson's writing's really good.
Yeah.
The characters are very interesting. They're definitely strange. But, I mean, I don't know. I really like the way it's written, and I think the art fits it extremely well.
I agree.
Hi, Zombie. I look forward to it every month. It's one of my fun books.
So, like, I read a little bit. I think there was, like, I forget the issue. It might have been House of Mystery or something. There was, like, when
there
like
was.
The flashback. Yeah.
Like an iZombie kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I get the feeling. So, it's not just the one zombie chick. There's, like, vampires and wizards and all kinds of shit.
Yeah, yeah. There's vampires and there's a mummy.
And a were-terrier.
So, it's interesting because I kind of got the read on that from that issue. I was like, so she's, like, a hipster zombie?
Yeah.
Is that, like, kind of.
Sort of, yeah.
A ghost.
Yeah,
and there's a ghost girl that she hangs out with.
Vampire hunters.
I mean, basically, she's
who dresses like Betty. Did she dress like Betty Boop or something? She dressed like. Didn't she have like a weird like 60s kind of vibe?
She
dresses
a ghost. Betty Boop. Betty Boop
like
is from the 40s.
Yeah.
She from the 30s and 40s.
All right, well, before, hey, you know,
I don't know. Betty
all
Boop
that stuff
is like Flapper. That's,
dude, all that stuff goes to a time period called before Ted. So I don't really care how exact that is.
BT.
Yeah, so I don't care. I wasn't born yet, so whatever.
Well, you're talking about the dress that the ghost girl wears. I mean,
I'm just saying it looked kind of like it was like kind of, okay, we're undead, but we're also hipsters. That's
well,
what
she
I did,
died.
I
well, she died, and she can't. She didn't change from when she died, basically.
Yeah. But I mean, but there's a lot. Is there more to the book than that? Because I wasn't really impressed with that little tidbit. That's all I'm getting at. I was trying to get you guys to pimp the book a little harder. Sorry.
It's awesome. You should read it.
I don't even know where you. Where did you see the ghost? She wasn't in that.
She was in. Well, she had to be. Okay, that's the only I've read of that book.
She wasn't in that story. That was
in the first issue.
From whenever. Gwen
I don't think I've ever
alive.
Picked.
You reading the previews
at the
end?
Thing? Maybe
that's
where. Okay,
at the end of like some of the other Vertigo
book.
Books.
Maybe that's why I saw it.
There's a lot more.
And the first issue was only $1, so you might have grabbed it just because it's a buck.
Should have.
That's a buck, man. You know what I could do with $1? So much.
It's a good book, man. I love me some Gwen.
Four-piece chicken McNugget.
So, Henry, what about you?
Strippers.
I think I cut you off.
Oh, it's okay. I'd probably pick up Michael Kupperman's Tales Designed to Thrizzle. You know, there's not a lot of, like, floppies that come out that I read. Probably not very many published by Fantagraphics anymore either. But I really like Tales Designed to Thrizzle. It'll pop out every once in a while. And Kupperman, I think, is one of the funniest guys out there right now. He his comics are always really wild and crazy. I think he did one where it was all Albert Einstein and Mark Twain solving mysteries. And the great thing was he drew them both look exactly the same. But anyway, yeah, it's a great book, and I always look forward to it.
Did you see the Snake and Bacon?
I love Snake and Bacon.
Did
so
you
much.
See the they were going to do the Adult
a little
Swim
cartoons?
Show, and they pitched.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was really
funny. They have like a pilot, and then I guess that's as far as they got.
Yeah, everybody hated it.
It's a shame because Snake and Bacon are amazing, and that's a great, great book. I think Kupperman's doing some really interesting art. You know, it looks really retro. It's kind of strange. A lot of it's based on photographs. But he has, like, the best wit, I think, of anybody out there right now. He's really funny.
Well, Cartoon Network isn't really interested in amazing right now. They'd rather be mediocre or crappy.
All right. Who wants to go next? Heather?
Thor the Mighty Avenger. I love Roger Langridge. He's awesome. And I've never read Thor before, so I have no prior knowledge of his story, really, other than just generally from listening to you guys and the whole debate about the hammer.
I barely.
But I really like what Roger Langridge is doing. I really like the art in the book. It's a fun story. I like happy comics, and it makes me happy.
It is a happy comic. I do like that book.
I don't like to read the depressing stuff, so
yeah,
I
agree.
It.
That was my choice too.
Oh, First I'm duplicate. Sorry.
No, it's fun. I love that book. That should be everybody's book. I love Muppets too.
Well, she's most thankful for.
I'm most thankful for Thor the Mighty Avenger. I need to check
that out. Well, it hurts.
Well, we can all be thankful for Roger Langridge. Yes,
indeed.
I just read his blog and the other day, and that dude, he's awesome.
He is.
He's really awesome.
He is. Okay, Brian.
I hate everything.
You're not allowed to. It's the Thanksgiving episode.
True. That can't be
pick
true.
One thing that you halfway like. You don't have to even like it completely. Just kind of.
Boobies?
Also, Bud Root.
No, because Bud's not doing Cavewoman anymore.
He's doing some.
He's only doing the special edition covers. It's that Devin Massey guy that's doing all this stuff. Screw that guy.
Boom. He's in charge. I think you're talking about, I think it's... Bob Durham is doing them.
Oh, is that who it
and
is?
And somebody already ruined Power Girl for you, right?
And also, we're not talking about creators. We're talking about books.
Anyway,
the creators make books.
That's another fucking category.
Oh, no. Bad.
Take that.
Positivity.
And the explosions begin.
Dude, what about like G.I. Joe or Tiny Titans or...
No bitching allowed.
Actually, that's not a bad idea.
That is a good one.
I really like the fact that that book is still active at this point. Like, because I don't think it's selling blockbusters, and they're trading the artists every issue, which is kind of annoying. But I really like the fact that it still exists. I like the book.
Cliff Chang is coming up. Yeah,
yeah. Cliff Chang's gonna have a 2-part story.
I also like that one.
Maybe more.
I mean, Dean's writing it. Brian Bolland's still doing awesome variant covers. If you're a variant cover person. And I like the art on it. It's just awkward that it's been different every issue. Like, I wish they'd give somebody the gig and stay with it. But I'm glad DC gave the opportunity to another interesting female character to have her own book. It's not paint by the numbers. She's got Zatanna's an interesting character that has a lot of back stuff that you can get into if they'll give the time.
Not just fishnets and a top hat.
Yeah, exactly. Completely not. Like, there's a lot of different stuff to do for her.
Just fishnets and a top hat.
Well, no, that's why I love the character, but there is a lot to that character.
No, but I like Zatanna, too, because you didn't have to read anything prior to this latest series.
Yeah.
Right.
I think Paul Dini or the guys that did the Batman, the animated series, or even better yet, the Justice League cartoon did a fantastic Zatanna.
Yeah, I thought she was really good in her appearances in both of those shows.
And that's Adam, Valerie. What about you?
I've been bouncing back and forth between two books. This everybody's been talking. I'm going with the Enders series that Marvel's doing, mainly because I really enjoyed the first part of it, and that's what got me to read Enders Game. And then I was reading about Speaker for the Dead, and it's like, you know, it's like a 6-inch thick book, and it sounded just kind of really slow and wordy compared to what Enders like Game is like, a really high paced book and a lot of action. And so I was kind of hesitant in reading that one, but they continue the Ender series comics, and it went into the Speaker for the Dead storyline.
That's the one when he's on the other planet.
Yeah, when he's like the governor of the colony. Yeah.
I feel like I've read that.
And
you probably have.
So like I didn't think I was gonna like it as much, because also the creative team that was on Ender's Game and Ender Shadow, like Pascal Ferry's not doing the art on it, and. So I didn't think it was gonna hold. I was like, it was one of those things where I was like, I'll continue to read it and see if I like it. And I really, really liked it still. So the fact that it could hold me, even though I wasn't expecting to like it, and I still enjoy it. I'm really thankful for that series, and it's gonna continue going on too. So I can continue to be thankful for it for a while. Hopefully, I do hope they go back to some of the Ender Shadows, some of the Bean storylines too, and some of the stuff on Earth.
But those have all been coming out like as miniseries after miniseries.
Yeah,
after miniseries,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. So I've been really thankful for that series.
How many series have there been?
Like in novels?
No, I know the novels.
Oh, three, and then a bunch of one
shots. Were the three and the
some
first
one? Yeah, three
book,
and some one shots. Huh?
Was it
in the comics right now? There's Ender's Game, Ender's Shadow, some one shots, and then now this Speaker for the Dead story arc.
So Ender's Game, like how many issues did? Because that was the entire novel.
Yeah.
How many issues? How did they pull that off?
It was more than one trade. It was like 12 issues or something. Okay. Like that. I'm totally
pulled
that number
out of my ass.
It was
a long miniseries.
Yeah, yeah.
The follow-ups have only been like six. Yeah,
so much.
I mean, when I went back, you know what though? All of the stuff with his brother and sister, none of that's in Ender's Game. They cover that in one shots.
Okay.
They go back and there's a few one shots. They change the story a little bit in one of the one shots from the novel too. Mm-hmm. But they go back and they cover all that in one shots. But the Ender's Game is just about the Ender's story, and the Ender's Shadow is just from the point of view of Bean. Okay. And then the one shots cover his brother and sister. Back
gotcha,
on
big guy.
Yay!
All right, number three, trade or graphic novel. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
I'm going to pick Loverboy by Irwin Hasen.
Aw, I love that book.
I am thankful.
Everybody's working for the weekend.
I'm thankful that that book was written and drawn and actually published and saw the light of day. It's kind of an autobiographical story. Irwin is a dirty old little man.
It has naked ladies in it.
It does. It's got boobies. I mean, it's a story about him trying to fall in love.
He likes tall ladies.
And it's very sweet. It's very, you know, very
He's
heartwarming
tiny.
And
it's
endearing.
So cute.
A little sad, too.
Yeah, especially
sad?
At
is
the
he
end.
Does he not fall in love in the end?
No,
he does.
It doesn't go well, though.
Yeah.
When Irwin had a sad family life.
Yeah.
And he talks about that. And he talks about, at the end of the book, going to the grave sites of some of his relatives. And if they do it again at Heroes Con this year, Irwin's documentary, or I'm not sure exactly what they call it.
Yeah.
It is amazing to watch. I mean, you will be laughing 1 second and in tears the next, and then laughing again. Because his story is just really interesting, and Loverboy captures a lot of what the documentary does.
Yeah.
I need a second.
If you come to
Heroes Con,
you should definitely go by and say hello to him, though, because he's a cool little dude.
Yeah.
He wears adorable little outfits.
I want to introduce him to Jordana.
Please
get
do. Yes. And can I watch that? Because that'll be hilarious.
He rocks the ascot.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he
okay,
does.
Brandon, what about you?
I'll take this opportunity to double up what I was going to do for the... The single issue thing, that Elegy from Batwoman, that is amazing. That the deluxe edition that DC released, top to bottom, front to back, whatever you want to say, it's fantastic. And the writing, I think Rucka really went out and captured the character and moved it further than when he found it, even though it's relatively a new character. But
I also think that was something that was really good to collect like that.
It's beautiful
because it was all over. I mean, it's. You know, at times in Detective and whatnot, she was a partial, like, halvesies when they were doing, like, double stories and
right.
stuff like that. So to collect all of just that story in a trade was something that DC should have done.
But see, I had no knowledge. I quit reading floppies at that point. I didn't read any 52. I knew nothing about her or this character. I got it from the library. When I got it from the library, it was just for J.H. Williams' artwork. I heard so much about it. I was going to flip through it. Take it back that next Saturday. I've had it for 2 weeks. I've read it. I've looked at it. I've perused it. I will buy that book. It's a fantastic book. And about a character I knew nothing about, cared nothing about, and now I want more. And I know they're not doing any more, but...
No, you're in luck. Batwoman Zero will be out and be in stores soon.
Is it Rucka?
She's getting her own... No.
It's not Rucka.
Rucka's gone from DC. Rucka had an ugly split with DC.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's J.H. Williams and, like, Amy Reeder.
J.H. Williams is... I saw everywhere on all these forums everywhere, they're talking about he is the greatest comic book artist of all time, which I know that's a stretch. I'm not going there, but I will say that is one of the prettiest books I've seen in a long time.
It has a very distinctive style.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And the new series will have at least that style... Don't know how the writing will be with a new tandem, but
right.
Rucka will not be with DC for the foreseeable future, that's for sure.
Well, I hope the character doesn't suffer, but even if it's not, it's going to be pretty to look at.
Henry, what about you?
My favorite graphic novel this year was Drew Wang's Set to Sea. I thought it was really, really beautiful book. It's all single panels, beautiful pen and ink work. I'm a really big fan of cross-hatching. It's my thing. I love it. And that book is so beautiful to look at. And if you really take your time just going through the pages, just looking at the wonderful rendering he does on it. It's a great story, too, but the art is totally incredible. So I can't endorse that enough. It's really a great book.
Yeah, it was awesome. Brian?
I guess I'll go with Parker the Outfit.
Oh, you fucker! You fucker! You son of a bitch!
I haven't read it yet.
I'm so glad
I literally
that you...
have in my iPhone notes.
Okay, I have another one. I'll let that happen.
No,
okay.
We'll talk. No, we'll share it. No, you. We'll share it.
No,
we'll
I have another one. That way we can.
No, we'll share it. No,
I don't want to share with you.
We're sharing. So you already said it. Done. It's about being not like you can edit stuff out of this podcast. So you say it.
You can only add. You can only edit Adam out.
I really like the previous edition. I'm also a mark for, you know, pretty much anything Darwin Cook wants to do. Mm-hmm. I mentioned this in IDW for Publisher. I really liked some promotional stuff that IDW did that was different. I'll be repeating this again, but my favorite actual issue from the year, the thing I was most thankful for, is the oversized man with the getaway face, which is part of the outfit. Man, I loved that format. Yes. I bought a ton of those from my shop and was trying to hand them to people as they came in. Man, I would have them on the front counter. It's like, hey, do you like comics? Look at this. You know, wouldn't you like to have comics that came out like this sort of a thing? I thought the book was really good. Style-wise, I actually liked The Hunter better. I actually liked the first one better, but I really liked that IDW gave this book such a push and really tried to get it out there. What about you, Ted?
I kind of agree with you on a lot of points. I think on the Dollar Bin forums, we kind of disagree on this point. I actually like the outfit a lot more than like the Hunter, just because of. I just really enjoyed seeing the kind of, you know, the specific breakdowns on the individual heists. As we were going into these individual heists or the side heists that were going on outside of the main Parker story. You know, the different even like Darwin would like switch up his art style just to go along with the different storytelling stories he was telling there. I just really dug it. Like you said, the man with the getaway face, I gave it to my girlfriend, had her read it. She was into it, even got her to read Parker the Hunter off that. Yeah. She hadn't made her way to the sequel yet, but we're working on it. But it's just great book. I was really excited for it. Got it first thing I read. Can't wait to the next Parker chapter. It was definitely the best graphic novel I read.
And with the thing kind of where some of the companies are looking to have series of graphic novels where things are released only as graphic novels now, the only one of those I'm looking forward to or really on board with is the Parker stuff. Like, I can't wait for that next one. I'm not really interested in the other concepts the companies are coming up with. But I love that IDW is putting so much into doing those.
Yeah, after those first two books, they could. I'm in. I've committed whatever dollars, however long they want to put that out. I'm in. So
my hope is that every year we'll get either a Krogan's or a Parker.
Yeah,
they'll alternate.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Like, you guys are right about the man with the getaway face. I'd never read any of Darwin Cook's stuff. I didn't read any of the New Frontier stuff. I'd been shown it, but I picked up The Man with the Getaway Face because it was very cheap and it was very beautiful.
Yeah.
And it was an amazing book. I loved it so much. And actually, Brandon got me a copy of The Hunter, which I just read, and it was incredible. I'm going to get the outfit very soon.
Yeah.
But you guys are totally right. It's a really amazing book.
And the good thing is they kind of stand. You don't really need to read one to, like, if you just wanted to pick up Parker the Outfit and you hadn't read Parker the Hunter, I don't think you're missing anything.
Yeah, there's not like huge plot points where you're not going to understand stuff. It's a pretty basic story.
And like The Man with the Getaway Face, you can pick that up and just read it and just enjoy it. I mean, you're not missing anything. They're really well told stories. They don't rely upon the previous one.
Yeah,
Adam, what about you? Do you have a pick yet?
Yeah. I've been on the internet trying to find what came out this year that I've read. And,
well, thanks for being prepared for your own show.
it's Sean's show. Shit. I'm going with Cinderella, Fable Town with Love.
Yes,
I wanted to say Greensdale, but I haven't read it yet, so I couldn't.
It looks really pretty.
Yeah, it looks really pretty, and it brings, you know, it's a Neil Young thing.
I just looked at a couple of the pages of it. Yeah. Damn, I mean, that book looks really good.
But I got to go with the Cinderella. It was everybody loved the Cinderella character and who reads fables, and they went.
Good call.
They went somewhere with it. And and Chris Roberson, again, we mentioned him earlier. He knocked it out the park, I think. I think he played the character well. I think he told a good story, and he got more titles. I mean, he's getting more out of it too. It went well enough that we're going to be seeing more Cinderella from him. So,
have you seen the new cover?
Yes, I saw that.
Badass.
I saw that on Twitter. I gotta say, I bought that book like really just to support Chrissy.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It was really good. Like, you bought it. Was it Aladdin that was in it?
And yeah.
It's an awesome character. It's like, come on, this is really good. Yeah.
I think I'm the only person on the place of the earth that hasn't read Fables yet.
You want to take?
Yeah. Like at all?
Fables?
I haven't read any Fables.
Henry, have you not read it either?
Are you kidding
me? No, I haven't read it.
Dude.
Oh, all right.
You need to put back all that shit you borrowed from me.
Actually, no, I can bring you the first Fables. The first trade.
How have you not read Fables, dude?
That is unfucking believable. How long you been involved with us?
You're like 90 years old, and you've read every comic book out there, and you haven't read Fables?
I've read more Spider-Man than you'll ever read, but I haven't read any Fables.
I've never read Sandman either.
Can we vote him out of the dollar bin until he reads it?
I can just call my wife. She'll tell me to come home.
I've never read any of the Sandman stuff either.
Devin.
God, I don't even have one. I mean, really, honestly, though, the only like original graphic novel I've read this year was that Superman Earth 1. It wasn't great.
What? I was so excited about that. Did you read any trades?
It was great for business.
Talk about that one, though, because apparently it sold like hotcakes, right? That's why I'm hearing it sold everywhere.
So, like, hotcakes of the International House of Hotcakes.
That is one mean motherfucking cover. I mean, I'll give them that. And the artwork in it's good, too. It's just, I don't know. There's just not much to the story.
There's a sequel coming.
Huh?
So, doing a sequel.
Yeah.
To that? Superman? Oh, yeah. Seriously?
It sold so well.
So how does that? I'm
fucking believable.
Well, it's Superman.
It's just like any other Superman origin story, pretty much you ever read.
Because and I don't know, but this is me not knowing the whole DC multiverse.
Oh, I think I need to be
on
Superman.
The cover. He kind of looks like a dick.
He has a hoodie.
Well, it is Superman.
He's troubled. He's brooding.
Well,
He's brooding.
Well, help me understand this because I'm not. I know DC has this whole multiverse thing or whatever. So is Earth One like the primary? Like this is like
Earth One is the Earth that we're on.
I thought that's why they had but the is that crisis. The
Earth, so that's not the Earth where the comics take place, where the normal
no,
DC?
No, I mean like, regular Superman is Earth 1. Regular
right. All right, so this is the new origin for Superman.
But this is set up as an Elseworlds story.
Yeah. Then why do they call it Superman Earth 6?
Because they don't want to sell it to... Devin is not the target audience for that book. The target audience is for that book is somebody who's just going to walk into a Barnes & Noble.
And say, I want to read about Superman.
Yes. DC is releasing a series of standalone series of nothing but rebooting of some of their classic superheroes.
If you haven't ever read a Superman story before, it's probably pretty badass. Yeah.
Whatever.
But if you have,
what if you read the Twilight series?
If you no see now, here's another thing. Like,
wait, has Devin read the Twilight series?
I read that
series?
Where Dan Didio said something about it being like Superman
whatever, I cut
Twilight
you
for Superman
right,
fans
man.
Or some shit like that. But it's not.
He just said that to try to sell.
Yeah,
more
exactly. He did that to try and sell shit. I mean, it's not that at all. I don't understand.
Dan Didio's losing his power and losing in jeopardy of losing
we're
his job.
So Superman doesn't sparkle in year one.
No. Okay, so
I haven't gone yet.
Devin.
Yeah, you did.
God, I really wish that I could think of something that I read the latest Hellblazer trade. It was really good.
Did you
read?
Yeah, Hellblazer.
India. That was good. I really want to get the one with Jock that Jamie Delano wrote, and I haven't read it yet.
Okay, Heather.
Sorry.
I'm going to pick two, mostly because everybody else has been talking about multiple books anyway. As far as graphic novels, Red Moon, which just came out this year, that was independently published, about the two dogs and the apocalypse. That was really fun. I really liked the art. It's a black and white. I'll buy comics with cute dogs in it. And that's what initially brought me in. But I really liked it. It was really well written and just well done. My second one is Cragmore. And I think it's technically a trade because I think Pat Lewis put Cragmore out in issues first. I've done a review for Cragmore that Adam still has to proof to put on the site. So I won't. But I really liked Cragmore. I like Pat Lewis's style of art. And Cragmore is just a really fun book that's kind of just a different take on a near-death experience story.
And you gotta spoil something you said as a near-death experience. You just spoil it.
No, I mean, that happens like in the first couple pages.
Okay.
Cragmore basically is a billionaire and he's at a construction site and a steel girder falls on his head. But so, I mean, that you kind of can tell from the back because he has an encounter with the devil.
He makes a dealish.
He doesn't really make a deal with the devil.
No, a deal-ish.
He causes issues with the devil.
Yeah.
And the devil is out to thwart his plans.
Right. Is it kind of like a Mephisto devil thing?
No, he's the devil.
No, he's
It's magic.
He's the devil and he's really jolly looking. He wears a bow tie.
Brandon had a...
So it's like the devil and Mr.
Brandon and Henry have both borrowed my copy of Cragmore.
I haven't borrowed it because you gave it to somebody else.
You got it after Henry. You have it now, and if you've lost it, I will kill you.
I do not have it.
Wow,
I gave it to you at Sketch Charlotte.
I pulled it out of my bag and said, here, give it to
somebody else. No, Henry had it. He brought it back the next week, and then I gave it to you the following week.
I'll look, but I don't think I have it. I sold it on eBay.
I will kill you.
I got 35 cents
I will stab you in the head.
I will kill you.
I really liked it, and I like the art. I think... you know, his art kind of reminded me of Chuck Jones, kind of like 60s Warner Brothers. Very, like, plucky and kind of, like, round. And
Plucky is a perfect description.
Yeah, it was a great book. I really liked it a lot, too. But, yeah, I love the art.
I didn't realize we could do more than one book.
You can't.
We can't.
Well,
Sean is the world's worst moderator.
Back to Red Moon for a second. There's also an interview with them and a review that Heather did of that book on our website right now.
And we also have an interview with Pat Lewis.
And actually, because Heather broke the rules, her entire section is getting cut out now.
Boom.
Are you serious?
Well, I'll mention real fast Krogan's March. Brian, thank you.
Yeah, nobody else mentioned that.
That was last year.
I thought, I just assumed.
Was it this year?
Yeah.
Really?
It was I thought it was.
I should have said that.
Hey, by the way, guys, if you want to see,
Black Sod was also. That's also a great
book. If we want to see,
and you're done.
Yes. Black Sod was awesome.
If you want to, if you want to see a live reaction to a beloved character getting eviscerated,
I apologize for any noises that I've made in the last 45 seconds.
Okay, all right.
Please look at Devin.
Okay, number 4, comic related news and event. This can be like a comic related movie. A convention you went to, maybe
getting a job at a comic
like a TV
store.
Show. Any kind
of Can I go? Walking Dead.
Okay.
Walking Dead is incredible. Even though I don't know. Like the biggest thing for me with Walking Dead is that I really get a kick out of when my family who laughs at the comic book habit I have calls me up and says, "Hey Ted, what's going to happen next on something?" It's happening on, you know, a couple movies and Walking Dead. Me and my aunt, you know, after every show ends, we have a, you know, 30-minute wrap up call and, "Hey, what happened in the comic? You know, how's it different? Who is that guy? Who is this guy?" And it has a lot of people charged up. Of course, it was going to have the comic book crowd charged up, but I think you have a lot of people that have never, don't even know that book was a comic book.
Yeah.
Really into it. And it definitely is more of those people than the average comic book fans watching that show. And it's just, you know, really good. You know, I know we've had some discussions amongst ourselves about, you know, the difference between episode 1 and episode 2. We won't get into all that, I'm assuming, because you want to keep
it
positive.
Yes.
By the way, we should do a Walking Dead TV kind of show, I think, at some point. But
maybe the end of the season, maybe.
Yeah, the end of the season.
It's on tonight at 10.
But
maybe
yeah,
commentary
so I,
during
it just I heard it was going to happen. You know, we talked about it. I never thought it was going to happen. And then when it came on, I thought it was definitely not going to be very accessible. I didn't think there was a big market out there for a zombie survivor story, and it just started out really huge, and I'm just really happy for that.
And they've already picked it up for a second season, right?
Yep.
Yes. Yep.
But the first season is only going to be 6 episodes.
Right.
Okay, who wants to go next? Brian?
Scott Pilgrim?
I still haven't seen that.
Nobody
going
said
to.
That as graphic novel. I'm surprised.
Because I think, and maybe correct me if I'm speaking out of turn for everybody, I think the movie kind of made part 6 either. Not seem as good.
It's good. I'm agreeing.
Or it's relevant.
And Brian?
Yeah,
Brian.
I'm going to go with something really stupid now left field and say the immediate announcement when Batman Arkham Asylum was so popular that they were making a sequel.
Boom.
I cannot wait
game?
For that game yes. to come out.
Okay. Cool.
I'm more interested in that series of Batman video games than I am in any of the Batman comics being published.
Okay, Brandon.
Whoa. I'm going to jump on what Ted was talking about, but not in the way that you expected.
No, because when I do that, it's not like a comfortable... Sorry.
Brandon is speaking.
We weren't passing notes.
Brandon is speaking. Yes, Brandon.
Brandon's got the cult.
You guys can text amongst yourselves. Brandon.
Ted brought up Scott Pilgrim, but I like the movie, I like the book, but I really love the soundtrack. So that's going to be my pick, is the Scott Pilgrim soundtrack. I don't really typically listen to that kind of music, but man, that top to bottom is fantastic.
How's it him?
Devin's having an orgasm off camera.
It's fun.
And I wish that Beck would actually just quit doing what he's doing and actually...
Produce.
Become
right,
sex
right
bomb.
For other people.
No, just become sex bomb and just do it that way.
Sex bomb.
Like, what's Beck doing besides offending Jewish people?
I thought that was Mel Gibson.
Okay, Adam, what about you?
What are we talking about?
Mel Gibson.
Again, keep it under 30 seconds. I'm actually going to go with something that Sean gave me the idea of earlier on the ride up here, and that is the mainstream success and show up of Francesco Francavilla. I'm going with that. I think it's really awesome to see that guy getting so much work, or, you know, getting a lot more work out there. And, you know, he's got his DC, he's got his backups, his Gordon backups, which look like they're still going
to
happen.
They are. He explained.
Is it Movie Detective?
No, well, he explained it on Twitter. There's going to be some backups in some of them, and then he gets a full issue, and then some backups, and then they're going to kind of see what they're going to do with that. But it's an integral part of the storyline, so they will keep that. Those.
Mm-hmm. And then
the preview stuff for Black Panther looks great.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm so interested in that book.
I had no interest. When they announced that Black Panther was taking over the Daredevil, I had no interest in that at all until I saw that Francesco was doing the art on it.
Well, if you actually... I realize this Thanksgiving show, so I'm going to try to be negative. But, like, if you read the preview pages...
Yeah.
It's sketchy, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Like the premise...
You're not allowed to talk about that.
The premise of him coming.
Yeah.
And all that kind of stuff. But so, I don't want to turn anybody off that have been trying to pimp that still because the artwork looks so good.
And it's got his pulp style, and it's... I'm really, really excited about Seymour Francesco. I liked Garrison. I think, Brian, you weren't really as big of a fan of the
Garrison. Not because it... Like, I took... But, like, Garrison, it seemed like his... Seemed like it was trying to be more like mainstream and not just doing
I can
thing.
See that. I liked it. I'm in liking seeing Francesco staying busy.
Oh, yeah.
In the mainstream comics, DC, Marvel, Wildstorm, he's all over the place, and
just
it's
wish
good
he
to see.
So busy. More time for commissions.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I'll go next. I'm gonna say me getting to go to San Diego Comic Con.
You're so selfish.
A blast. I got to meet so many people and just like experience so many like really cool things. I had so much fun.
Do you want to go back though?
I actually do.
All right, Sean, if you were you weren't a Heroes employee, you were average Joe, you're gonna have to go through the hassle of booking a hotel, you're in advance trying to fight for a ticket, have to go through all that stuff, would you go to San Diego Comic-Con?
No, because I'm too lazy.
See, that's what I'm trying to gauge. I know, you know, you kind of had like kind of a, you know, maybe not red carpet, but like burgundy carpet kind of
mauve.
Kind of mauve.
I've got
that's a very
good
mauve carpet into there.
Yeah.
So average Joe me, would you go there? Because I'm interested, but I've heard so much negative.
Well, I mean,
the insiders I know that go have a great time. The average Joe gets surrounded by sweaty nerds.
It wasn't. SPX smelled worse than San Diego Comic Con.
SPX is more of a hipster funk, though.
SPX.
Not only that, but SPX is also in one room.
Yeah.
Yeah. What? But I mean, I had a lot of fun. I mean, I didn't really go there to, you know, camp out overnight to be the first to see something. I kind of went to walk around, and if I went to a panel, I went to a panel.
You didn't stab anybody in the
face? I didn't stab anybody.
And what was your panel experience? Like, everything I hear, and again, I guess I just know some negative people that probably show up to shit late, but everything I hear, everyone ends up, like, standing in the back row of, like, the fucking, I don't know, Big Bang Theory fucking
panel. I actually went to that. I showed up late that day, but had people in line.
See, that's...
So I snuck in and walked right in and got to sit down.
All right, so your experience is... I'm glad you had fun, but okay.
But you can have people in line, but, too.
I mean, like, I went to the Scott Pilgrim panel.
Yeah.
And I showed up, like, 5 minutes before that. There was a line. I got in line, went right in.
Okay.
There was plenty of room. Some of that stuff gets overplayed because... It's the media events that people really want to go to and really want to get in.
Yeah, they want to see the first footage for something.
Yeah,
they
like the comic kind of panels. I went to the Mike Mignola and Duncan Fregretto. Yeah. They had a panel, and there wasn't that many people in that. I mean, there are a lot of people you know what to avoid. Don't go near the video game area because it's going to be swamped. Don't go to some place if they're going to do a signing. You're not going to get to meet Felicia Day unless you pay. And, I mean, you move on. Yeah.
Whoa. What do you get if you pay?
You get you have to pay $20 wow, and you get signatures from everybody, and you can say hey to Felicia Day.
Who's everybody? You mean
the
on
guild?
The guild?
All the guild people. Yeah.
Oh my god!
If you were,
We're positive. We're positive. Nope.
Yeah.
So, I had a lot of fun at San Diego. I'm really glad that I went.
If Shelton needs someone else to come along and can give me the mauve carpet, I'll
and
like
make
to tag
you not
along.
Have to work.
I did. It. I was working pretty
Dude,
much
Dude, I
would
work
time.
For that. I mean, because the thing is, I want to go to San Diego. Oh, yeah. I really want to go to San Diego, but it looks like I'm going to have to buy like some like
courage for me to
black
talk to
market
people, okay.
ticket to get into the thing.
Yeah.
Like, I have friends that live there, so the hotel thing would be thankfully not an issue. But even just getting a ticket is like, you know, way too much like calorie
burn.
Yeah,
they're already sold out of.
Already
That's
sold
the
out.
Thing. It's,
well, they sold out of 5-day passes with the 4-day with the preview night, but they have. Their 4-day passes are about to go on sale.
So I'm leaning towards it. Maybe one day before I get married or whatever, I'll go.
Yeah,
married. That's like 40.
Is your current girlfriend aware of that?
Yeah.
Yeah. She doesn't listen to this podcast. Thank God.
Because I heard from her if you're dating for like 5 years and you're not married yet.
Oh, it's three years. Oh, I've heard it 3 years over
yeah,
and over.
3 years.
I'm like have it burned in the back of my skull.
Oh,
so
wow.
Like,
so she made that clear to you.
Fucking 35 months in, I need to make a call.
Oh, you're on year two right now.
I'm year two in like a day or something. Okay. Like I'm a day into year two.
Almost the same time.
Who wants to go next? Heather?
I'll go next.
Damn, Sean. Fucking taskmaster over there.
Do
you
want
us to continue talking
be.
About the pressure that your girlfriend's going to put on
that's
you
the
in
show.
12 months?
That's what we look forward to. That's the show.
Well,
that's who we
so
are.
Adam
has
decided
that it's
not.
What are
you if you're not ready to commit?
Well, Adam is wearing his stupid hat. So shut up.
Well, from now on, Adam just cuts the show at an hour, and he doesn't even bother editing past that. So
I'm surprised you showed up.
Right. I'm sorry. Proceed.
Like the show that we did a couple weeks ago that I just cut an entire
I'm very disappointed
half
that the Batman stuff got cut out.
No. Just don't call people on Skype and just record at home in your underwear.
Well, that's what we're talking about doing, maybe. But not in our underwear, but Heather?
That needs to stay in. Not in our underwear, Heather.
I was excited for the announcement that the Pushing Daisies comic is going to happen. I really liked Pushing Daisies as a show. I really think that the color schemes and stuff from the show will lend well to the comic format, and I think ABC canceled that show way too soon, and looking forward to the continuation in comics.
Oh. Who hasn't gone yet? Henry, have you gone yet?
Okay. I guess I made an announcement for Fluke next year, and so I'm really excited about that. It's going to be in the 40 Watt Club,
yeah,
which will
you
be, yeah, it's going to be awesome. The 40 Watt, yeah, it's a historic venue where REM played early on. It's really, really great. Like this year, I went to, is really one of my first years showing as a comic book creator, and so I've had a lot of real fun doing that. But like Fluke is it was my very first show. I did it
really?
2 years ago and did it again this year.
Okay.
Which was great, and I did my first Heroes this year. Yay. Which was I had a really great time doing that. But I'm starting to build a lot more confidence as trying to present my work and myself as a cartoonist. But yeah, when I heard the news that Fluke's going to be at the 40 Watt. Really excited me. I'm really happy for that.
Fluke is awesome. We love Fluke.
It's great.
When is Fluke again?
Is that April?
It's going to be April. It's normally like April, May-ish, I think. But yeah. I think it's going to... They announced the date. It's
like mid-April, I think.
It's mid-April, something like that, yeah.
Who, Devin, have you gone?
To Fluke?
No. For, like, the comic... Have you... The comic-related... news event?
The current topic.
The topic. Have you picked a topic yet? Have you... picked
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't either.
The current topic, Devin,
yeah,
is comic related news or event
topic.
That you're at. You're
yeah, you're most
yeah, I don't read comics.
This is news about.
Did you go? You went. No, you didn't.
Yeah, that started off. I did Walking Dead.
Devin, on the ride up here, you were all excited about the Captain America Entertainment Weekly.
There we go.
Hype for that movie?
Yeah. Boom.
I am excited about new movies coming out.
Is it because you think Chris Evans is hot?
He's got lovely pictorials.
Thanks, Heather. That's what I'm so excited about. Oh, my God.
I already said you would make a pretty drag queen, so thanks for that inflection.
Well, there you go.
Devin doesn't always shave, though. I don't know the 5 o'clock shadow plays with the dragon.
Look at pictures of my sister and imagine it's me.
Well, that's what made me think of it.
I mean, what? That's what Facebook was made for.
Yeah, y'all are some creepy motherfuckers.
Check this chick out.
No, I did. I did read the Entertainment Weekly that they were talking about the new Captain America or whatever. And it looks all right. Like, I like what they did with the costume. They're not like they were talking about there's no way in hell they were going to do like his flag pajamas is what they were calling them, with the little wing things on his head that make no sense whatsoever.
Thank you.
So I'm glad that they're not doing that kind of shit. Like, especially the first part of the movie, apparently his costume is like a thick leather jacket and he carries a shield, like a Templar looking shield.
And Chris Evans is hot.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
And, I don't know. The lantern thing looks okay, too. Apparently, according to Brian, Tuesday we get to look at a sneak peek.
I can see that.
On Entertainment Weekly, right? Yeah.
Oh, did you not see that? Did you not see that video already?
That was Terrence who posted that.
It looks so much better. Like, when it's not, when actual video version of that is so much better than the still photos that came out.
I'm going to wait to see. I'm going to wait until I get actual good quality and not
they had HD quality. The 720p on the Entertainment Weekly or Entertainment Tonight special.
Okay, so
it's a girl, Devin.
Number five. No, we're not going to talk about it.
Are we passing around pictures of my sister right now?
Yes.
It's girl, Devin.
We're passing around Devin's sister.
Yeah, you guys even have the same.
So weird.
Okay, so number.
What's the
picture of you and your
sister? I'm so out. I put it down for a second just to freaking read Invincible number 75.
You guys
and the whole world goes to shit over
you guys are like herding cats, man. I don't want to be the moderator.
Herding cats.
I hate this job.
Willow.
Okay, so number Kitty five. Cats. Dollar yeah. You're
time for my comment on this.
The dollar bin contributor you are most thankful for.
Ooh. Me.
You're thankful for yourself.
Devin, are you most thankful for you?
I'm also me.
And Ted's most thankful for
I'm
Ted.
Most thankful for Sean for turning me on to Thor the Mighty Avenger, because I freaking love that book.
Thanks, Devin.
You're welcome.
Aww. Okay.
Adam for taping everything.
Leaves me outside in the cold sometimes.
Oh, I agree with that choice. I'm also least thankful for Ted.
I'm actually thankful for Joel. The guy's put together some good interviews especially the Neil Adams thing. That thing was insane.
It was hilarious.
So he's probably under... appreciated, but I said Joel.
Yeah, I want to change my vote to Joel. Joel, I forgot about that. Yeah,
if it wasn't for Adam, we wouldn't record anything.
Joel sent me the nicest.
So I'm pretty thankful for Adam as well.
Joel sent me the nicest gift anyone has ever sent me. He sent me all this autographed shit from Concrete, which was just fucking blew my mind just to get all this stuff in the mail. He was like, I had a surprise for you, and it was like unreleased trading card series, like an autograph of like a favorite trade. It was guy's an awesome. He's building giant snow globes right now. So who? Yeah. How can you not love a guy that's building giant snow globes?
He sent me a Martian Manhunter plush toy for my son, and he also sent me a couple dollar bin onesies that Jonathan has now since outgrown.
Oh, yeah.
But I've got plenty of pictures of him in the dollar bin onesie.
Man, Joel hadn't sent me shit. Thanks, Joel.
Just another reason I'm thankful
You're
for
not
Joel.
The only one, Brian. It's all right.
I was gonna say Joel as well.
Everybody getting presents and shit.
Obviously, I've been working.
I was gonna Joel say man. Joel, and I was gonna also throw in Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
I really wish that he could come to HeroesCon. Like he's really sweet. Like he gave us like wedding gifts.
And he gave me Absolute Planetary.
Yeah, and like movies and CDs and books.
It was really
sweet of him.
I do love Miss Man.
So, Andrew, when I end up getting married within 3 years, I'm going to be expecting an absolute something or other. So just throwing it out there.
Aren't you supposed to be engaged within one at this point?
I'm really thankful for Joel and for Andrew.
Yeah.
What about Henry?
I guess I'm most thankful for Brandon because he's my ride.
Okay. Brandon, you got a vote.
That way you'll get home.
I paid him. Actually, that's part of his prize package. He had to. He's most thankful for me.
Brian, are you thankful for anybody?
Yeah, I don't like any of you sons of bitches now. Everybody's getting presents. I ain't getting none.
I gave you a Batman drawing.
I tell you what, I do
I
have to throw a shout out to Brian. Because Brian is my comic book guy now.
Yeah.
Since I am...
And Devin is now my least favorite customer.
So did that shop
like every Monday at 8 a.m. there's an email for me. All right, here's what I want this week.
Does Does he pay on time? He still owes you from like 2 months ago.
So, now he cleans out his folder at least. If he used to do with, to me what he used to do to Phil with his folder, we'd have problems.
How often does he pick it up?
He's at least every like couple weeks or so.
Okay, yeah. That's pretty good.
But like Phil, he'd have stuff from 1973 in there. Yeah. And like pick like three comics out. All right, let me get these and put those back.
The free comic book day issues. Get these.
No, I'm good about that stuff. Damn, I tried to give you some props and you just started thinking so. Like, I was trying to say how like, you know, I feel like I can feel confident in my, you know, like I'm going to get all my books. If they're not in there, he'll order them for me.
I'm actually doing the Flacco thing too, where I'm just fucking like throwing shit in there too. Because I hear Devin will like this.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he threw some Hellblazer in there for me. I appreciated that.
I'm Heather, thankful for Brian go? For hooking
no,
me up.
No, I haven't gone.
Oh, come on. What about you, Heather?
Yeah, Heather, what about you? Who are you most thankful for?
LBR?
Yeah, nobody did.
Nobody dropped the LBR, huh?
Man. Yeah. Well, you've been like running this thing all
that,
tight.
I'm about to when we get to the favorite creator that we met.
Oh, you did get to meet him, did you? Oh, God. I want to know it all.
Heather?
I'm thankful for not Ted. This is not Ted.
I made an appearance.
He made an appearance on the show. Yeah. Not Ted commented on the show that Ted wasn't on there.
Yeah, the show needed more Ted.
Yeah.
So saith not Ted.
I just like not Ted so much better than real Ted.
I gotta say, that reminds me, son. I know this is gonna sound cheesy, but like, I think I'm thankful for all of you guys.
Aww.
Cause I mean, I miss it. Like, I literally was sitting, I listened to the show, and I was like, oh, I wish I was there.
But no, I had to be at Hooters watching football.
Watching the Falcons game, okay? Ted, that's it.
It's really? A beautiful thing
you
up
didn't
there,
come
I will say.
Cause of Hooters? Like, seriously?
I didn't come because of the Falcons.
And did
they weren't
lose?
Even playing.
No,
they were playing.
Lost. Because I think we actually referenced that on there.
Yes, he mocked me several times, and I appreciate it.
Because you like really like you you go
because you have to go to
Hooters. Do it earlier anyway.
Yeah, no, because I can't get up in the morning.
I'm very thankful for these the discussion shows. They are a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We kind of lost our schedule, but they're fun.
Yeah, so much for the weekly.
Yeah,
yeah.
Hey, I've been posting weekly.
I like gatherings. Weekly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Number six, creator you got to meet.
Ooh, I want to go first.
Yeah,
okay.
This one's tricky.
Pat Lewis and Ed Piskor, who I can count together because they're both from PA. And I met them as a unit because they came to dinner together and they were the only two I didn't know.
Which one was the balls?
What?
She said unit.
She said unit. I'm not going to answer that.
As I like Ed and Pat both, I'm not going to answer that. They're both just really nice, really genuine people. They are both really easy to interview,
ow,
and I just like both of them a lot. Yay. Willow's like, what is that? Ted, did you name your dog after Willow on Buffy?
I did not name her at all. She's an adopted
it's
dog.
It's actually after Willow the pig.
Oh, so that was a
name. named after Willow Smith.
Willow Smith.
Willow.
She went her tail back and forth.
Neither of those jokes are played out at all. Neither of them.
Not at all.
Who
not
was
at all.
Next?
Never heard those jokes whatsoever.
No.
No.
Devin does.
Devin?
What? Am I going next?
Yes.
Creator, thankful to me.
Do it.
Besides LBR?
Yes.
Yeah. Let's not talk about it.
I kind of want to talk about
it. That you met
this is
kind of
like that religion that starts with an S that I don't talk about either.
Scientology? Ron Hubbard? Tom Cruise? Beck, maybe.
Beck,
maybe?
What?
Maybe. Yeah.
Beck.
Beck's a Scientologist.
Beck's a Scientologist.
Do not ruin Beck for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of. Beck.
Jason Lee.
Yeah.
Jason Lee, yeah.
Brian
Jason
Ballin.
He's not Clark's.
Ooh. You met Brian Ballin?
Yes.
Yeah. He's really
oh, yeah.
Nice.
He had his cool art book, didn't he? Yeah, I remember that.
I was in line for him, and everybody was getting pretty much shuffled through that thing because his handler was fucking terrible.
Uh-huh.
I forget who that guy was, but.
He seemed nice. I got to meet him.
Yeah.
The
I
hammer
he was
guy?
Nice.
It wasn't his handler, like his handler. It was like his hero's representative.
What?
Dude.
Oh.
Who was actually hanging out at our booth for
that's
a little
Dave.
While.
Wasn't that
there
that
you
guy?
Yes, Dave. It's Big
David?
Dave.
Big
yes.
Dave, yeah.
Wait, the guy
big
who's
dude,
kind of,
I want to punch in the nuts.
Dude,
that's Dave.
Yeah, anyway, point was that he was just like, he was being fairly rude about everything, really? You know, with everybody.
I'm sorry about that.
And everybody was, you know, coming through. Okay. I mean, everybody had their copy of The Killing Joke, yeah. You know. So it's like, Eric, Killing okay. Joke, Killing Joke, Killing Joke. And I had that book from like Ball and Strips or whatever.
Yeah.
Like his strips book or whatever. And dude hit, I guess, I don't know if nobody else had brought one up to him that day or something, but.
Something new.
Yeah, I guess. But he looked up and like fucking his face just lit up. He was like, oh my gosh. He's like, thank you. Thank you so much for buying this. He's like, it really does mean a lot aww. To me or whatever. And I was like, dude, you're fucking Brian Ballin. This shit's fucking badass. You know? And he drew me a little sketch or whatever in there, aww. Whereas everybody else was just getting fucking shuffled through. And the guy was, and his buddy, other big dude I want to punch in the nuts, looked over. He's like, you're all right. Like, you know, looked at him like, you want me to get this guy out of here? Or he's like, no, I'm sketching for him. I'm like,
yeah. In Dave's defense, he was doing what he was told.
Well, good, you know, yeah, good for him.
He's an acquired taste.
Still punch him in his nuts.
How about you, Big Ted?
Oh, I guess Mark Brooks, because he was the only comic book creator this year to buy me a drink.
And who also was apparently following you on Twitter.
He's following me on Twitter, which is incredible. I didn't even know that.
You had your little man crush on him.
Dude, I had a man crush on that fucking Kitty Pryde cover, and I still do.
It's been really fun to embarrass Ted with famous people this year. Because we did with Scott Adsit, too.
Look, my thing is with the famous people, like, okay, they know I know who they are. They don't know who I am. I don't know them. You know, I just feel weird, like, intruding in their world.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like, okay, I like Scott Adsit. You're funny. As Pete Hornberger. I don't know who Scott Adsit is. I don't really care to know who Scott Adsit is. But you're funny on 30 Rock. And same thing with Mark Brooks. You know, I really liked his cover.
He's also
that's why
on 30 Rock?
No. As far as his cover, but good joke.
Who did that to you at 22? It would be
Jason Wheatley.
It was awesome.
Jason Wheatley. Wheatley does things that I find really awesome. That was one of them.
Yeah, he's kind of a dick.
Wheatley told Mark Brooks that it was like, Ted, that guy over there, like he really wants to meet you, but he's really like scared.
Because and the thing is,
it was so great.
So Mark Brooks like brought him a drink and was like, hey, you know what? We're just friends.
We're just people too. We're just here too. And it was kind of, I was like, all right, because my thing is like, I don't want to meet them because like I've met like famous people or people I looked up to before, or people I admire before, and it just really disappoints me. Like, oh, you're just a dick. That's so fucked up. I didn't want to know that.
Yeah. Especially like, people, you know, when it really bothers me is people that you find really funny.
Yeah.
And you meet them and they're completely draw fucking douchebags. You know what I'm saying? Then you kind of sit there and
I can't
like,
do that.
Damn, that whole thing is just an act, huh? You're not funny at all.
I don't want to like try to like, because I see what people do. Like you meet the famous person and you try to, I don't know if you think you're going to win their friendship or something. I don't know how they work. I don't want to get involved in that. I'm like, hey, keep drawing fucking awesome covers. And sign shit for me when I bring it to you. I'll pay you for it, and then I'll walk along. I'll be Ted Tarver. You be Mark Brooks or whoever. That's the way I look at things.
That
so like
some that and see, this is the problem that we run into sometimes with doing interviews with people. You know, because it's an interesting line that's drawn there. You know, between like
the dollar bin has had their fair share of interviews where they're like, you remember that time? You did
moments. Yeah. We've had our Chris Farley moments. No, we've also had moments like with Darwin Cook where he actually did just come and hang out with us and was really cool. And just
cigarettes bring people together.
Yeah. See, and it's a weird thing because I know I missed out on certain kind of interactions just because, I mean, like some of those things are kind of natural. Some of these people are more often than not very nice guys that just they will hang out. But I just don't like these forced interactions.
Well, and there it is right there. You just used the key word there, forced interaction. Because sometimes, you know, a lot of these things, when you end up actually hanging out with some of these people, it's never in a forced situation.
Yeah.
It's in like something like, oh, you're outside smoking a cigarette or something, or oh, you're you know what I'm saying, and then
you're eating
pizza
in the rain talking about professional wrestling.
Yeah, like, and you end up talking
like, because the funny thing was like,
this,
you know,
shit about like, you know, going up and talking to people when they're at their tables.
No,
I fucking hate it.
No, I could, and that's the thing. And Mark was sitting there with a group of like people he knew talking. I'm like, I'm not gonna just
Hey Mark,
I love you. You know, I mean, that guy probably gets that every time he goes to one of those events. You know, like whatever. I'm like, hey, I love your kid, and I don't have anything insightful fucking to say. I'm like,
hey, I love the way that bullet like shows reflections and shit. It's pretty badass.
You know, dude, I tried to talk to Rosario Dawson, and all I could come up with was a shotgun blast.
Well, you're talking to
Tony Chastain.
Tony Chastain. Like,
wow. Man, that shotgun blast is awesome on page 12.
So I don't know. So like,
said that?
But it is weird. But it's weird.
Yeah.
I wish I'd seen that interaction.
Oh, it was terrible.
Soft. I was like, oh, soft.
And like, and I guess it appears on like the situation, because like I met all like the, you know, the Chris Reiser, all those guys at like an SPX where, you know, it was like really laid back, and I feel like I got to talk to those guys, and I really like all those guys and everything.
I think he means Fluke.
Oh, not SPS. Yeah, Fluke. I'm sorry. Fluke. Fluke Athens. I'm sorry. I'm getting everything.
It's okay.
It's still in Athens? Or no, they just changed the place in Athens. Still in Athens. All right, yeah, bro. Okay.
We just had this discussion a minute ago.
I wasn't paying attention.
Welcome
I'm
back,
sorry.
What about you, Brandon? What's your big Heroes Con takeaway from the year?
Doesn't have to be Heroes Con.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be Heroes
Con. Well, it actually happened to be at Heroes Con.
Boom. Yeah.
Where else are you going to meet these people? Yeah.
At the mall.
Well, I did meet Steve Epting for a second time, thanks to Brian. That was kind of cool. I met him.
Steve Epting's good people. He shops in
I apologize.
He is really cool.
I didn't tell you this, but I sent him an email apologizing for being a dick.
Oh, he didn't think you were.
Were you a dick to Steve Epting?
He told me that. Well, Brian introduced me to him, like, at the last day of Heroes Con, and the first thing I did was grab a hardcover and was like, hey, could you sign this? And I felt like a complete
fool. Oh, man, he's totally
that's
used to that.
That's just a Brandon thing to do.
Wow. Devin ran down Bendis 2 years ago as he was leaving the building.
Like, you will sign this.
I was like, look,
you're not gone yet.
Throws the book at him and hits him with his own book. Can you pick that up and sign it?
Dude, that was so like Bullseye, right? Where I hit you in the head right there. That was cool.
Now pick it up and sign it, little man.
Now sign it, bitch.
No, he was cool. Like, no. But really, I've been, you know, we've been recording the last few days. I saw him stand, like walking out. He was basically about to walk out the door. I was like, look, man, I apologize for fucking asking you to do this shit right now, but I've been recording. He's like, yeah, I've seen you and the other guy, little guy.
Ben just called you a little guy. That's
awesome.
I was like, could you please sign it? He's like, yeah, sure. How many you want me to sign? I was like, just the one, man. He's like, oh, okay, sure, whatever.
My root beer.
Like, he was right. He would have signed more if I had him. But
I never got to meet him. I was sad. Cool guy.
He's very tiny.
I saw a bald guy and said, thanks for coming to Heroes Con in lieu of
said,
getting
I
to
love
meet
you on Californication.
Like, I was in the bathroom, and I was like, that kind of looks like Venice. I know it's not. I was like, thanks for coming to Heroes Con. I went in the bathroom. I knew it wasn't him, but it was the closest I was going to get.
He's a very tiny Michael Chiklis.
My actual choice was would have to be, not that Steve Epting wasn't great, but I just, it's like, I said five words to him.
I thought it was Steve Epting.
He's a great guy, nice and everything like that. I talked to him at the Heroes thing. He's a really down-to-earth good guy. I think the most shockingly pleasant conversation I've had within this year was probably Tim Sale. I got him right when he came off the plane from, I guess he came from Paris. Was he coming from France?
Oui.
I have no idea.
He had just came off the plane. He missed the first day, I think, and he came in and he looked like he just got off a plane.
Yeah.
He was out of it. And I was sitting there with, I had all of our books. I think I had everybody's books to get him signed, and I was talking to him, getting them signed as he's going along, and I said some stuff to him about, you know, his style and stuff and some of the books. And I told him, we had a conversation about Superman for All Seasons. I told him that was my Superman book. And
he said, said, I drew that.
What? He's like, we're not writing royalty checks your way, buddy. I don't know what fuck you're talking about.
Whatever. Some special interactions.
No, but
Brandon's that guy I was just talking about.
being an artist, it is even more pressure. When you're talking to an artist you really admire or appreciate, it is even more pressure than to have it just somebody you like to read because. Yeah. I've had so many of these failed conversations with people that you just have to go in and get another one and be like, you know, hey man, I'm not a complete moron. But Tim Sale was.
I understand. Tim Sale going as Heroes and.
Yeah, it's very awkward, but Tim Sale was very pleasant. He was very patient, and he did some drawings and some books for me. Signed a bunch of books that I had with me and stuff, and it was just it was a very nice conversation.
Yeah.
You got anybody?
Oh, okay.
What was that, Brian?
Sorry, you got anybody?
He's speaking Pocky?
So I didn't meet a lot of people this year. Mostly because every convention I went to, I had a table at and showed at. So I ended up sitting at my table an awful lot.
So who was your favorite fan that came by?
This girl named Pants. Pants is incredibly cute and came by over and over and had me draw things for her. But anyway, like at the Heroes Con, like the very last day, I did get up and I went around and talked to some people and bought some stuff. And mostly people in Indie Island, because I wasn't going to stand any of the huge lines to meet any of the big names, so I didn't have time. But in Indie Island,
a little brush off on Indie Island, huh? Jeez.
Oh, sorry.
It's like I didn't want to meet any of the important people. So I just wanted to meet
famous people. So I just went to Indie Island and just walked right up.
Yeah. But anyway, I was like making my rounds around Indie Island, and I really really like Gabby Schultz's Monsters graphic novel that came out. It's about herpes. And it's like the greatest book about herpes you'll ever read.
It is a special kind of monster.
But anyway, I'm a huge fan of...
you can't get rid of.
Like luggage.
I'm like a huge fan of his stuff. And I was talking to him and I bought a sketch from him. Then I went next door to Liz Bailey and I was talking to her and I'd given her some money to print her free will book. And I told her that I did and she asked me what my name was. And so I said my name was Henry Udy. And Ken, whose real name is Gabby Schultz, popped up. And he said, "Oh, I know you. You're the old humanity guy." And so that like really made my day. That somebody I really admired like knew who I was. Like that kind of floored me. And he was super nice guy.
Cool.
I didn't know you were old humanity.
Oh, that's me. That's me. I got a little head that throws.
I'm gonna Twitter that old humanity. Okay. In my house.
You did. Yeah. Okay.
I follow you, but yeah. He wasn't. You're not in the friends column. Now you're going to be in the friends column.
I ask guys questions on Ask a Black Friend all the time. Yeah.
Oh my God. By the way, if Terrence is listening, thanks for ditching me on Ask a Black Friend. By the way, pull your weight, buddy. It's your idea.
I miss Terrence. What the fuck? Where's Terrence?
I texted like 7 times. He just blew me off.
I texted him today too.
Just totally blew me off.
He didn't respond to any of your emails.
Nothing.
Yeah. I googled him.
Oh.
Giggity.
Giggity.
Hey, Liz Lemon, can I Google myself in your office?
That was awesome.
Is it all right if I use the internet? How else are you
going to do it?
Oh, you want to see?
Okay, boom. So. Adam and I, on our honeymoon, we went to New York.
Yeah,
and our friend Steve Sapple was like, "Hey, do you want to meet Joe Simon? You want to, come hang out at his apartment?" I was like, "Yeah." So we got to, spend a little time talking with Joe Simon at his apartment. And that is the creator I'm most thankful for getting to meet this year.
That's pretty amazing.
And I mean, I got to meet a lot of people this year. Here's my list. Ted McKeever, Bill Willingham. I mean, on and on.
Bill Willingham was really cool.
And Mike McNola.
He's a really nice guy.
I mean, I got to meet Dash Shaw.
Yeah, you got that. Number one.
Yeah, he was sitting right beside Chrissy and
Cameron Stewart.
Chrissy Zullo.
Did you meet Chrissy this year, Devin?
I met her. I think we met her last year.
What are the Dollar Bin Award shows?
I got to meet Sergio Gomez.
Was that the Dollar Bin Award show?
I got to meet so
many
people.
That was when
people.
She was at my house.
Yeah, he flirted with you, right?
Yeah, we met her.
That's pretty
here.
Great.
He called me Squeezable.
Yeah. We met her here last year.
Squeezable?
So she doesn't count. Oh, wait. No, that would have been 2010. I could.
I felt like I met Neil Adams.
I guess she does count.
Awesome. I actually did meet Neil Adams.
That's
got to
be number one. Dude.
It's not. Not for me.
Adam, who's your number one?
Tom DeFalco. I really, really liked
the guy
Tom
who
DeFalco.
Did Rock Me Amadeus?
Yes.
He gave Adam so much crap.
He was
that
so
was
much.
A very good interview.
He was a really good interview, and he was so much like I met both of them in real life. In real life, like in person.
In real life.
Podcast
is not even pretend.
For all you who don't know, the podcast is not real life.
What? We fake a lot of our interviews. It's just us impersonating these people.
Just one guy with a lot of voices.
But
oh yeah, I'm Ben Templesmith.
Hey man,
blah blah, I'm Ben lots, blah blah lots of bullshit.
We should start doing interviews like that. Hey y'all, I'm Ben Templesmith.
But no, I got to meet
Tom. I'm Jimmy Palmiotti
at New York Comic Con. I also met Neil Adams at New York Comic Con. Neil Adams did not remember our interview.
It sounded like he did when he was giving it.
Yeah. Tom DeFalco, however, Tom DeFalco did remember our interview. He remembered a lot, like what we talked about, and he was just really nice and
he showed he had the pages of
Thunderstrike.
He had the pages of Thunderstrike there to show, and he was just he was really nice.
He
really
apologized
fun.
To me for being married to this guy.
Yeah,
and gave Adam shit for how long it took him to post it.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, he did. I went by his table like 10 times. He was never there, and I finally caught him on Sunday. I didn't think I was going to see him, and I got to meet Tom DeFalco. So I'm putting him at number one, even though I met a ton of other really,
what
really
about,
awesome people,
what,
too.
You're not going to list your new Besco friend?
I didn't meet him.
I know you didn't meet him
I met
this
him
time.
Three
met
years
him
ago.
A few years ago.
Are
but
you talking about Steve
this
Niles?
Was, yeah, this was y'all's best year.
This is the year, this is the year y'all became best friends forever.
Shut up, man. I love Steve Niles.
I do, too. I just think it's hilarious that he and Adam became best friends over
the
weekend.
And I kept thinking, Steve, I mean,
like they're going to start tickle fighting in the hallway.
Oh, my God.
It
was pretty hilarious to see those two together.
Tickle.
Especially Steve when he come up and, like,
I'm going to miss
Adam
you more.
Hadn't noticed him yet. He's kind of got this little look, like, mysterious
what?
Look on his face, dude. That was hilarious.
I didn't explain further.
Like, he wanted to go up and, like, punch Adam and then run.
That's when we were doing cleanup on the last day. Is that what you guys are talking about?
Yeah.
I'm going to miss you more. No, I'm going to miss you more.
Wow.
It was disgusting.
Oh, that's so cute. I didn't know about that.
Yeah. Well, no, it was, he had something he wanted to tell me, and he didn't, I guess I was packing up.
Aww.
And he was like, no, I'll talk to you later. I'll talk to you later.
What did he want to tell you?
Oh, no. That he was going missing. Something between Steve and I.
that sounded really creepy.
It was personal.
Something only Steve and I share.
What?
Oh, I'm so glad I brought that up.
Here's kind of pretty cool for meeting people that had not met previously. Like, we were just picking on Temple Smith. Temple Smith's a really cool guy. Very dapper looking fellow.
Yeah, meeting him was not what I...
And meeting his lady friend Molly was also nice.
But that interview with you and him was awesome.
And if
I mean,
you don't
granted,
post,
I still haven't posted
if you don't
it.
Post
granted, yeah. I only stopped by for like 5 minutes of it, but it was fucking great. It was like our initial interviews used to be. Like our first when we first started interviewing people, and it was just about a bunch of fucking nonsense.
He had no idea how to respond to any of my questions.
It kind of reminded me of the first time we started talking to Fraction.
Yeah, yeah. You like when you and I did it?
Yeah. Like I went to high school with that guy. Like that.
Except for Ben Temple Smith didn't want
to
fight me
with
afterwards.
Who,
yeah.
Matt Fraction. I went to high school
of.
With him.
Ooh.
His real name's Matt Fritchman. I'm sure you know that, right?
Yeah.
What? His parents have a bag.
That's a made up name.
Yeah. Oh, no, his name is Matt.
Yeah.
It's Matt.
Matt Fraction.
What's his real name?
Fritchman.
Like in high school, he came in. He came out from Chicago or something. He had this long, like really greasy, dirty hair. And
he had that the year I met him.
And
too.
Every girl in the school like was after him, was chasing him around.
Oh, that's so funny.
Because they knew
so
one day
he was
he'd
like,
write Iron Man.
So what point did he become Matt Fraction?
Whenever he started writing.
Mm-hmm. Pen name.
That's his pen name.
Yeah.
His name's
yeah,
also
no,
Mark
like was
Function.
He Matt Fritchman?
Fritchman. Yeah. I don't know. Although, like, I saw him, and I was like, hey, we went to school, remember me? And he was like, I have no idea who you are. And I was like, seriously? Because we used to hang out a lot. No, he doesn't remember anymore. Sorry.
Dude, he just ruined Matt Fraction for me. Like,
have you not met him?
Between the pen name and, like, the fucking, oh, I don't remember you in high school? Oh, dude. Fucking done. That Iron Man is going, like, off my pool list right now.
Damn
done.
Matt Fraction.
Well, you got to give him a second try, because honestly, Fraction, like, dude, I had issues with him after the first time I met him too, and I didn't want he almost ruined my immense Immortal Iron Fist reading for me, and then I convinced myself that Brubaker was writing the whole thing and it had nothing to do with Fraction, although that was not the case at all. Yeah. But the second time we talked to him, he was freaking awesome. He was hilarious.
Yeah, yeah, he's like a really funny guy. You know? And he was very nice to me, and maybe just legitimately doesn't remember who I am, but I don't know, I thought it was weird.
It's funny he remembers me.
Yeah.
Somebody who was not a disappointment when I met them, and my choice would probably be Mick Foley.
Yeah.
That was my guess for you.
He was a really nice guy.
Yeah, he let me pose for a picture with him.
Yeah, and he signed a bunch of stuff. Like, I broke 4 people in line when we were doing the interview, and he signed stuff for 4 of my friends, too. So
cool.
He's a good dude.
You don't have four friends.
Yeah, I read.
They weren't for that day because I could get something signed by Mick Foley for him.
I read either an article or a part of his book about Tori Amos. It was really interesting. Like, he's a really good writer. Yeah, he
is. If you ever want to borrow any of his books, let me know. They're all really good. Me and Sergeant Slaughter is in them, but still.
Yeah.
All right, so we done?
Yeah, I think.
Do you want to do a closing, Adam?
Can Sacco do the closeout?
You say Sacco.
Sacco. Come on,
Mr.
I don't know if that works in his medium.
What are you doing?
I was
going to. Sean's doing
Sacco. I'll put the sock back on. Fine, whatever.
Fine, I won't do it.
God, you guys ruin everything.
Well, see if I do Mr. Sacco for y'all again.
Like, if you guys are closing, I just want to thank you for having me. Like, I had a really good time. I listen to your show a lot.
Holy shit, there's a positive.
Thanks a lot for letting me come in. I enjoyed it.
Oh, thanks, Henry.
Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Henry.
For listening to the show. I don't even listen to the show.
Devin has never heard the show. Sadly, he's been on 4 years.
He's not lying.
I think the only one I really listened to all the way through was Sweet Christmas.
And it was awesome.
He's not hanging out on Ted's anymore because he always puts microphones on. What the hell is that about?
Yeah, what the fuck? I thought we were drinking. Yeah, I thought we were drinking and watching football and looking at Hooters.
So have we wrapped?
Yeah, thanks.
All right, okay. Can someone explain to me what happened with Batman?